I worked on this project mostly as a supporting person versus the person who actually did the work. So forgive me if I don't know everything involved here. She did a great job on the project and she knows the ins and outs. And unfortunately, she wasn't able to make it today. She made a faculty member proud. She got a job and she didn't have a chance to come to the session. She didn't have any time off to come. So I will muddle my way through here, and I will see if maybe you have questions that I can answer, and maybe you won't, or maybe I won't, probably is the better way to put it. Okay, so we don't have anything to disclose. Let's see. Now, we have a couple of objectives here to explain to you the impetus of the project, why we even started doing this. Because it sounds like material that probably isn't particularly familiar in the public health world. And second, we're going to talk about and define workplace forgiveness and what that looks like and why we even started talking about forgiveness in the first place. Second, we're going to talk about appreciative inquiry. Have any of you heard of this model? Yay, we got some hands. Okay, and then we're going to outline our methodology, and that's going to be pretty short. It was a very much an exploratory project. And then present some of the results. Again, very tentative results here, or very preliminary results. So here we go. So the impetus for the project, the state of Illinois' public health department is encouraging health departments to think about accreditation, and this came out in February of 2014. Do we have any Illinois health department people? I know we have at least one here. Just one? Okay, so I can kind of muddle through this and not so many people know if I'm right or wrong. So it was in February of 2014 that the state came out and said, you know, I really think you should all think about going for accreditation. But it was voluntary accreditation. It wasn't a mandate by the state. And so they were encouraging these health departments to do that. And the health department, our local health department, said, well, gee, that sounds like a project we could take on. We could look into this and see if it fits for us. And so they decided to take this on, but they didn't really have the people to do it because, as you all know, health departments are doing a lot with less, right? So most health departments, at least in my experience, have tried to do more and more with less resources, less people, less money, and so on. And good for you if that doesn't describe you. I'm very happy for you. Right now, there are 70 local health departments that are accredited and 158 that are in progress. This is the latest information from FAB, I believe. I think it's from FAB. And there are approximately 2,800 health departments, local health departments in the U.S. So we've got a really small bunch that have already been accredited, and a relatively small bunch that are seeking accreditation. We also have 9 state health departments that are accredited and 23 in progress. So the local health department says, yeah, let's do this. And they then gave this to student interns to do. Here you guys, take care of this for us. And so they really jumped on it and really ran with the ball. First, we had a Peace Corps fellow finished his coursework in a year and started his follow-up Peace Corps work with the local health department, and he wrote their strategic plan. Along with that, they had a volunteer jump on the assessment part of it. And she was also a grad student, and she's the one that was my grad student that did this particular project. This fall, they have undergrads working on particular parts of their plan, and their one group is writing their social media plan, the details of implementation. Another group is doing the details of their marketing plan. And these are all my students working on these projects. I'm very proud of all of them for what they've taken on. So when it comes to forgiveness, the idea of forgiveness that we're talking about here is not necessarily saying, okay, it's fine what you did, whoever you is. It's the idea that, okay, they did it, and I've gotten over being crabby with them for that. I'm not forgetting that they did it, but you're no longer spending time on being mad about what happened. You've moved forward from that. You're no longer feeling that resentment, that anger, and so on. So really, forgiveness is essentially, as it says here, a more pro-social response to the conflict. And there's been a lot of research on forgiveness and its use in a variety of settings. And there are a number of positive health outcomes even related to this. Okay, sorry guys, I'm going to go back. Okay, wrong direction. Here we go. So there's been research on forgiveness and its impact on conflict in schools with kids. And there's been research on forgiveness and its impact on people's health when they've got some health issues. And there's a lot of positive research, positive outcomes, even related to an individual's health. And so based on that research, we had people in the business world who developed a model. Gosh, you guys. So they developed a model that said, okay, here's how it would apply in a work setting. So the idea was creating a forgiveness climate. And so these gentlemen developed this model. It's a multi-level model, and it has an emergence phase, a sense-making phase, and an action phase. So we got three different phases that we work through with this model. And then there's more details that apply to that. And the research shows that, again, these have really positive outcomes for the capacity of an organization to increase its ability, right, to do its work. So here are some of the basics here with this emergence phase. So we have this culture, core cultural values. Okay, so we have a restorative justice, we have compassion, and we have temperance. And the focus of a lot of the stuff that we were talking about, my student was looking at, was this compassion. The other things are leader attributes. And we also looked at the leader's attributes in this project. So do they have a restorative justice orientation? Are they a servant leader or are they not? And then do they also exhibit self-control? So these are the core cultural values and then our leader attributes. All right, so continuing with that emergence phase, some of the organizational practices that need to be in place at this point include restorative justice, approach to dispute resolution, how do we resolve disputes in our health department, and that was specifically one of the questions that the student asked. And then, are there employee support programs out there? And this might not be so possible in smaller health departments. The health department we worked with has 18 employees. So they have limited capacity to do some of the things that the program or the model suggests. However, they're doing their part. And then mindfulness training and appraisal. And again, mindfulness training, again, might be a challenge for some of the smaller departments that don't have budgets for employee development. Okay, so our sense-making phase. And again, it's responses to conflict, because that's why, again, we're talking about forgiveness in the workplace. So it's the way to deal with conflict. And this is conflict within the workplace, or as this health department defined it, conflict with the people that providing services for. All right, so empathy triggers. Okay, so if you're going to reduce conflict, what you have to have is a little bit of empathy for the folks out there. And then emotional shift, because initially when there's conflict, people's general response, not that they act on it, but the general response is to, you know, say, hey, wait a minute. Okay, and then looking for restorative change. Okay, so how can we get back to a positive way to deal with this? All right, so the action phase, okay, our next phase, is relationship commitment. Are we committed to these relationships we have in our workplace, or are we not? So if we are, we want to increase that constructive communication. We want the communication in the department, in that health department, to be constructive rather than destructive. And I'm sure all of you can think of examples that you've been in conflicts where it's been destructive, hasn't been a good thing for the organization. We also are looking for it to be less aggressive, and we're looking for it actually to increase cohesion. In a perfect world, that's what we're looking for, to increase that cohesion once that event is over. And then interpersonal and organizational citizenship behaviors. And again, these are a challenge sometimes. So we're looking for people to be a good organizational citizen. So you want to focus on job performance. You want to focus on people having and realizing job satisfaction. And you want to hopefully decrease turnover, because conflict in the workplace can increase your turnover. All right, so next. How am I doing on time, you guys? Am I good? Okay, thanks, Mike. And then individual benefits. As I was saying, we have some individual benefits. Those of us that are forgiving in the workplace. And again, it doesn't mean you forget it and you say, okay, they can just, you know, it's fine. You just say, okay, I'm no longer mad at this person for being a jerk, because you might think they really are a jerk. Okay, so you, as an individual, will realize or should realize lower blood pressure, better overall health, reduction in your stress levels, less aggressive behaviors, because if you choose to err on the side of forgiving someone, even though it might be hard, but if you err on the side of forgiving someone, that in turn leads to less aggressive behaviors. And then lower levels of depression, because we know that there's a link to conflict and all of these things and depression as well. All right, so moving on here. So our research question: does the health department we worked with have a forgiveness climate potential? Is there potential to develop that kind of climate there? So we really asked, what are they already doing that might fall in line with the requirements of a forgiveness climate? So we decided to go from an appreciative inquiry perspective in asking this question. And big picture, appreciative inquiry says, we're going to look at what do we have going on here that's good. Okay, let's focus on the positive stuff versus the not so positive stuff. Okay, That's what we're going to try to do. And again, when things are not going well, it's easy to focus on all the bad things that are happening. I know I have a tendency to do that. This is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. And I'm sure you have coworkers that you can identify in your head who also view the world in that way. But with appreciative inquiry, instead, we're going to turn around and say, okay, what do we have going on that's good? Okay, what do we have going on that's good? And that can increase our capacity to do the stuff we need to do. Okay, so it asks questions that strengthen capacity and increases the organization's potential. And again, consciously focuses on the good stuff that's going on rather than on the negative stuff. It's really easy to focus on the negative stuff. When I get student evaluations, I could have 100 good ones and one bad one. And which one do I spend time thinking about? That one bad one. We got a nod back here. That one bad one. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So it also assumes an organization has what it refers to as a positive change core. So at its core, the organization has this ability to change in a positive way. All right. So moving on here, some of the details. Untapped accounts of the positive. So we haven't tapped into the stuff that we know is positive. We haven't focused on that. It also assumes that there are really rich, substantive things that are going on that also addresses the positive stuff. Sometimes we don't even know what, you know, Joe over in environmental health is doing. And it's like, wow, that's a really cool thing that Joe's doing. And we don't even know it because we're so busy doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then it also looks at inspiring accounts of the positive. Okay, so a little bit more. Here's kind of a visual of what this whole idea is. So it's appreciating and valuing the best of what is. Okay, and sometimes it's really hard to find the best of what is because what is might be not so hot. And then it's envisioning what might be. What could we be based on that stuff that we have, that core stuff that we have? What do we have we can build on? And then dialoguing about what should be. Okay, this is what should be going on here. Here's the stuff we could be doing. And then I love this quote from these authors, an organization is a mystery to be embraced. So going back to that mindfulness, how much time do I have? 2 minutes. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'll hurry along.